everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We are here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. How are you, everybody? It's Wednesday. We're not doing Wild Card Wednesday. Dan Shiru is off. Dan Long is filling in, so we'll get back to our themed music bumps that you guys pick. We'll do that tomorrow for Triple Play Thursday. So there you go. Yeah. So last night I was really thrilled to host a screening of the classic Back to the Future. We had a fantastic turnout. Everybody had a great time, and it was really fun and awesome to host it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it was fantastic to see it once again on the big screen, and it was great. And it is one of the best time travel movies ever made. And so the topic here is of time travel, even though Dan Shiger is not here, Esmeralda. I realize that, so we'll save some quantum leap talk for tomorrow.
I'm sure he's listening, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, but... But so we want to hear from you guys on the topic of time travel. You can talk about time travel TV shows, time travel movies, time travel books. The whole concept of time travel is so fun and fascinating. It's one of the great tropes and cliches of the science fiction genre. And when a time travel movie is good and fun, like Back to the Future, can be a blast. But I will tell you this: when bad time travel movies are really bad. Like when they don't follow their own rules. Like Back to the Future has a very specific set of rules that they follow perfectly. Like they set the whole thing up at the beginning of the movie, the explanation about the time machine and how it works and you know, what happens and how you can change the course of the future through what happens if you screw things up in the past. All of that is set up at the beginning of the movie. They never break the rules, and it's all great. I mean, it's just fantastic. So, Dan, do you have a favorite? Do you like the subgenre of time travel movies and stuff?
Yeah, this is tough. Because when you told me you were going to bring it up, I've been trying to think. And I'm trying to think of movies that haven't been featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000. Because that's immediately where my mind goes, because they did a bunch of time travel. I don't know if you saw the latest season.
The last season?
Yeah, the newest one with Jonah Ray. And,
yeah.
They did a movie called The Time Travelers, and that was one that stuck out to me. But it was, you know, mostly because of the riffing.
Sure. The bad time travel movies are always, like, ridiculous, you know. But, you know, and all time travel movies don't have the same rules. That's another thing about it, is that, like, for instance, there are time travel movies where you can't go back in time. It's impossible to go back in time and see your and be in the same, like, room with your old self. So, like, if future you and past you will never be seen together. But they are in the Back to the Future movies. They, you know, you can actually go back in time and your other self is there. I mean, it happens in Back to the Future. Well, it happens like crazy in Back to the Future Part 2. Like, in Back to the Future Part 2, they go nuts with the we're in the same scene possibility. In the first one, it doesn't happen until the very end. When he goes back, when Marty McFly goes back early so that he can warn Doc Brown that he's going to get shot. And then he gets there and his car stalls and he has to run to the mall, and he gets there in time to see the Libyan shooting Doc Brown, and then he sees himself get shot at, and then jumps into the DeLorean and sees himself disappear. And there are, in some time travel genres, don't say that that's not possible. You can't do that, you know. But I mean, you make up your own rules as long as you follow them. That's what I'm saying. I don't care how, you know, outrageous or unbelievable the rules are in any genre. As long as you follow those rules and don't break them, I'm fine with that. And that's exactly what they do in all three of the Back to the Future movies. So, Esmeralda, do you enjoy the time travel genre?
Yeah. I mean, I used to watch Quantum Leap a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Quantum Leap.
I'm trying to think what else.
Well, I've got a bunch here.
Right. Oh, there's that show with Jerry O'Connell, which was
Sliders. Sliders,
of Quantum Leap.
Was that Sliders?
Yeah.
That was called Sliders.
And I have a very obvious one that I didn't, because it's probably on your list, but I don't want to blow the list.
Well, no, go ahead.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Of course, man. Come on, please.
All right.
Yeah. Please. I believe I'm in the minority on this one, but I like the second Bill and Ted better than the first. I think the second one's better, and I love them both. I think they're both fantastic. But the second one, I think the second one is better, and I love the addition of Death, the character of Death, William Sadler, who plays Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, is so great. He's so great and so funny. That I think he adds a lot to it. I thought the second one was good. I mean, I think they're both great. Hey, we got to be looking forward to the third one. Esmeralda, did you hear that they actually announced that they are? It's going through.
Oh yeah,
they're making a third back. They're making a third Back to the Future, or not Back to the Future, of Bill and Ted. So it'll be interesting to see what Bill and Ted are like in their 50s. From what I understand, I guess the plot is that they have families, that they married the girls that they were in love with in the first two movies, and then they've got kids and stuff with them. And I guess the movie is about dealing with middle age, Bill and Ted in middle age. So, yeah, no, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Somebody was telling me earlier, because you know, I don't know if Esmeralda, in the original script for Back to the Future, before they did many, many rewrites, listen to how ridiculous this is. Before it was a DeLorean, they were gonna make it a refrigerator that could travel in time.
Oh no! Come on.
Yeah, and then you know they were like, no, that's, and Spielberg was like, no, that's not a good idea.
How big is this fridge?
I think a regular sized fridge.
Two people can't fit.
And well, only one person fits in the DeLorean in Back to the Future. So
what do you mean only one person?
All three of them at the end they bust in. But until the very end of Back to the Future, only one person uses the DeLorean at a time. Until the end of Back to the Future, or end of Back to the Future, and then the beginning of Back to the Future 2. But yeah, I don't know how big the fridge was or how it was going to work. But Spielberg said no, that's not a good idea. And his main concern was that if the movie's a big hit, and that's, you know, this fridge is what they used as their portal to go time traveling, kids were gonna go into fridges and and close the fridge and die. But here's the funny thing, Esmeralda. In the original script for Back to the Future, when the time machine was a fridge, there was a scene where the fridge was part of an atomic bomb, and the atomic bomb went off and the fridge went flying. And then Spielberg, who said no to that idea, ended up using it in the fourth Indiana Jones movie, as we've talked about before, where Indiana Jones is inside the fridge, atomic bomb goes off, the fridge goes flying, hits the wall, opens, and he's okay. So Spielberg didn't think it was a good idea for Back to the Future, but apparently he thought it was good enough for the stupid Indiana Jones movie. But yeah, so but somebody was telling me that they were going to use a van in the Bill and Ted movies. Originally, they were going to use a van as the time machine. But then, like, the studios and the producers were worried that it would be compared to Back to the Future, because Back to the Future also uses a vehicle, you know, a car, a vehicle. And so that's when they changed it to a phone booth. But that, you know, what Bill and Ted ripped off, right?
For that. No, what?
The TARDIS from Doctor Who. Doctor Who it's a phone. It's a phone booth that Doctor Who travels in. The TARDIS is a phone. The TARDIS is a phone booth. So yeah, they took that from, because I remember when Bill and Ted came out, all the Doctor Who fans were in an uproar. You know, because they can get geeky, Esmeralda, as you know. So these Doctor Who fans are like, "How dare you use a telephone booth for your time machine ripping off Doctor Who?" You know, all very angry. There's room for more than one time traveling telephone booth. So, yeah. Now, Dan, are you looking forward to the third Bill and Ted?
Are they making a third one?
Oh yeah, no, it's a go. It's a go. Oh, they've been trying with
Keanu and
Alex Winter. No, yeah. They're back, man. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, it's the original writers, the guys who wrote the original two movies.
No Rufus though.
No. No Rufus. No, you can't. No, you can't. And you can't recast Rufus. Or maybe you can't do that, because who the hell are you going to? I mean, you can't cast anybody but George Carlin.
No.
So, Yeah, they're going to have, but it's about them being middle-aged. That's what it's about.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's a go. So I'm looking forward to that. Here we go, Trucker Rich. We're talking time travel stuff. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good evening, Nick.
Hey,
this is off subject, but when you said Keanu, I remember you were talking with Mr. LaPell about the car rebuild shows.
Yeah,
I saw one with Keanu as a custom motorcycle shop out in California now, and they were saying I think Keanu is in Hawaii in his Cool Breeze.
Yes, that's
so
right.
I was just wondering if his parents were like old hippies, but one I remember, and I'm a little older than you, but what was the afternoon show? Was it Frasier Thomas?
Frasier
After School?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had one on there. It was like a multi-part series where these kids went back from Central Park to prehistoric times, and one of them was a science nerd, and he was always taking notes and stuff. Was that The Land Before Time?
No, Land Before Time was an animated film from the 80s, and Land of the Lost was not a show that Frasier Thomas would show. Land of the Lost was a Saturday morning cartoon about a father and his two kids who are going down a river, and they end up time traveling to prehistoric times with dinosaurs and these characters called Sleestaks. And that was a very, very popular kid show from Sid and Marty Croft.
Right. I remember that one.
Yeah.
This one was on Frasier Thomas, and it was like a multi-part, you know, show.
Yeah, maybe somebody knows. So was that, so I mean, the kid show that he hosted was Garfield Goose. So it was
right.
It was something on Garfield Goose. So maybe somebody remembers. You guys remember a kid's travel back to prehistoric times? One's a nerdy kid who's always taking notes and stuff, and this was something that it seems that was serialized on Garfield Goose. Maybe somebody knows. Keep the radio on, Trucker Rich.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Take care.
And I'm glad to hear you're the last. I'm glad to hear you're the last man standing.
Yeah, I get to shut off all the lights and put the closed sign out.
Yeah, maybe you ought to do like WCFL did when they went off the air back in the 70s. Just start playing that goofy rock and roll song that had. Man, I can't think of the name of it now, but it said the radio rocked me, but they always added the station's name to.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, they played that for like 7 hours before.
Yeah, well, you know, but we're not going off the air. We're just
right.
You know, we're not changing formats or going off the air. So
right. Well, you ought to leave that on an 8-track loop with a loudspeaker, so everybody just knows you're gone.
Yeah, just have that cranking.
Yeah.
All right, Rich. Thanks.
All right.
Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Later. For those of you who have just tuned in, yes, in fact, it has been decided that I will be the last show broadcast from the Trib Tower, and it'll be Monday morning. And that, by the way, this will be the last show broadcast from Tribune Tower. And on top of that, Monday morning, the show extends to an hour. It goes longer, and it's 1 to 5. So my show is now going to be 1 to 5 starting on Monday morning. So 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., we're doing 4 hours, and we're going to have so much fun with you guys. We're very excited about the extra hour. So that'll happen. That'll kick in on Monday morning. And Monday morning, the first 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. show that we do will also be the last show broadcast from here at the Trib Tower before everybody moves over to 303 East Wacker. Okay, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we're talking time travel. It was so much fun hosting a Back to the Future screening last night. We had a huge, huge crowd. It was a lot of fun. And I'm going to talk about, I got a whole bunch of titles here that involve time travel. We're talking movies, and we're talking TV shows, we're talking books, and we want to hear from you. What are your choices? Talk or text right now at 312-981-7200. Everybody, How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, weekday mornings, 2 to 5 until Monday, and then it's 1 to 5. And I hosted a very successful and fun screening of the classic Back to the Future last night, one of the greatest time travel movies ever made. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about time travel. We can talk about time travel in TV or time travel in books, time travel in movies. There have been a ton of time travel stuff out there, and we want to talk about that, have some fun talking about it. What are your favorites? 312-981-7200. Trucker Rich called in describing a serialized children's series that I guess Fraser Thomas played on Garfield Goose. And Tom, I believe, has the answer. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing, Nick?
Okay, man.
Great topic.
Thanks, buddy.
Journey to the Beginning of Time was the name of that.
That's what it was called.
Wow. Yeah, and I saw it about 5 million times.
I don't. It's really weird. I watched Garfield Goose constantly. I loved dinosaurs and time travel stuff, but I don't remember that. I guess.
Well, I'm a little older than you are. They did it in like the early '60s.
Oh, okay. Because I was born in '65, so that's
yeah.
Okay.
And another great episode. You can't forget Homer Simpson with the toaster.
Oh my God! So great. So great. You know what my favorite moment in that, Tom, is?
What?
Is when he goes back and the family, you know, and he's talking to the family, and he says, what, he says something, I can't remember specifically, maybe Esmeralda will remember a little bit more, but he says something like, I would love to have a donut, and she says, donuts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are donuts? And then he goes, and he hits the toaster, and he leaves, and as soon as he leaves, donuts start falling from the sky,
yeah.
And Marge goes, oh, it's raining again. It's
raining again. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
And a couple other things. Star Trek had a couple of good episodes with time travel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
going through time warps.
In all those, you know, and, like, I mean, it's a classic trope in science fiction.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, who could forget the time machine with Rod Taylor?
Right, exactly. Classic. Okay, thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Okay, that's called Journey to the Beginning of Time, Rich. Journey to the Beginning of Time was what you were thinking of. Here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Well, he already took the time machine from me.
H.G. Wells. But yeah, H.G. Wells.
I believe the first movie after Superman that Christopher Reeve was in was called Somewhere in Time. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's a classic. Jane Seymour. Yep. It's him and Jane Seymour. That movie, do you know, Scott, do you know how intense the following of that movie is?
Pretty intense. I've gone on the web from time to time and looked, and yeah, there's a lot of people that really, really, really just love it.
And they have conventions every year. They have Somewhere in Time conventions every year. That movie's got like an incredibly passionate fan base, and they go to the like the resort where it was filmed, and the Grand Hotel. They go there, and that's where they do the conventions. So they have Somewhere in Time conventions at the location where it was filmed.
Yep.
They've been doing it for years.
And maybe someday I'll make it there.
Yeah. 1980, that movie came out. Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
No problem.
All right, buddy. There you go. You ever see Somewhere in Time, Esmeralda? Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour?
No, I haven't.
It is a time travel thing, but it's also like a really sort of unapologetically really romantic movie, like over the top romantic, and women really there's a massive amount of women who love that movie, and that's how those conventions started. So Somewhere in Time. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a break. We got the news coming up after this. Yeah, Huey Lewis, who, by the way, also appears in Back to the Future. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. Oh, man. Yeah, that's from Back to the Future. I screened it last night, had a sold-out crowd. We had a blast, and so we're talking about time travel. What are the greatest time travel things, books and movies and TV, What are your favorites? 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGiulio here. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we're here until 5 o'clock. So time travel is the topic. Let's talk to Paul here on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Good. Yeah, you were talking about the Somewhere in Time weekend conventions, and I've actually been to one of those.
Oh, tell me about it, man.
It's amazing. First of all, a lot of people dress up in the period costumes like in the movie.
Yeah.
And they always have people that worked on the movie. When the year that I went there, Jeno Zwark, the director of the movie, was there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and the cinematographer was there, and some of the actors, you know, supporting actors were there. Of course, you know, Christopher Reeve was gone, so.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Jane Seymour goes sometimes. She wasn't there the year I went.
Yeah, no, I remember reading that Jane Seymour has gone in the past, yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And they've been doing it for a long time, for many years. Like I said earlier, the movie came out in 1980, and I don't know when the convention started. I don't know when the convention started,
I'm not sure when they started, but they've been doing it for years. You're right.
It's got to be.
It's phenomenal.
That's cool. Okay, Paul, thanks for the report, my friend.
Sure, Nick.
Okay, take care. There you go. Somewhere in Time convention. Dan, so a dude came up to me after the movie. We were talking about this upstairs when you and me and Bobby were talking upstairs. I had a guy come up to me after the movie, and he goes, "I was this close to coming in my Doc Brown costume." So he has a full on Doc Brown costume with the crazy hair and the goggles, you know. He's got the goggles. He has two of them. He has the one with the one that he wears in the garage when he shows what's going to happen with the car, the toy car, with the goggles, and then the modern day one, the 1985 Doc, where he's got the white radiation suit, and all that stuff.
He must go to Back to the Future conventions.
And there are Back to the Future conventions.
Sure, and you don't just keep a Doc around. Costume on hand.
No, you don't. No, and that was how deep some people go with this movie. And there were a lot of people who were like hardcore Back to the Future fans there last night, which is not surprising. You know, by the way, you know what they screened it free at Millennium Park last night?
No.
At the same time I was doing Back to the Future? Mad Max Fury Road, man. and here's the thing. My boys at the Chicago Film Critics Association, of which I am part, the Chicago Film Critics Festival, Eric and Colin, who are regularly on my show, on Steve and Peter and all the guys that I am also a part of their organization, they were asked to pick a movie for the outdoor Millennium Park summer series. And they chose Mad Max Fury Road, and they purposely chose last night. They chose that date, the 12th, specifically because I always do my movie clubs on the first Tuesday of each month. And I couldn't do...
The one time...
Yeah! Round. I couldn't do my movie club last week because Mike Kurz, who is my partner in the film club and works at AMC and is responsible for getting our film club to be shown in Rosemont, was on vacation with his family last week. So, you know, and Eric is like, "We got great news for you, man." Because, I mean, you know how I feel about Fury Road.
I have heard that it's a movie you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Word on the street.
I've seen it a couple times. It is quite seriously one of my very favorite movies of all time. And here's the deal. When the movie opened, May 15th, 2015, when the movie opened, I saw it three times in 24 hours. I lost my mind. I saw it three times in 24 hours, and, you know, I can't even, seriously, I've lost track of how many times I've seen it.
Well, I remember a period, probably every couple weeks, I would see you post on Facebook or something.
That I was watching
it. Like, I guess I'm going to watch Fury Road.
I guess there's nothing else on, so I'm going to watch Mad Max Fury Road. But anyway, so they were specifically like, let's pick a date so Nick can go. It's like his favorite movie ever. And then they tell me, "Hey, we got good news. June 12th, we're showing Mad Max outside at Millennium Park for free." And I went, I'm doing Back to the Future that night. And the other weird thing is, Back to the Future is like Eric's favorite movie of all time. And so last night we were at,
I know it.
He was at Mad Max introducing Mad Max, and I was at Back to the Future introducing Back to the Future, and we both would have liked to have been at the other ones too. So, yeah. Anyway, time travel is what we're talking about. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Somebody did mention the classic Time Machine. Well, obviously the book and, of course, Rod Taylor, the movie. And it's a terrific one. You know what nobody's mentioned yet is I haven't read all the texts, but the Terminator movies. They haven't mentioned that, like, the first Terminator is one of the best time travel movies of all time. And I mean the second one too, but I'm a fan of the first one. 870 area code says, "Hey, congrats, Nick. Very appropriate for you to be the last word from the tower. You or Big O would have been my choice." Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, Orion and I have the most tenure here, which is terrifying. If you think about that, Dan, Orion Samuelson, like one of the most legendary and professional and awesome broadcasters in the history of the media, he and I have been here the longest.
And that's probably what, a 40, 35 year jump from him to you?
It's, yeah, he's well over 50 years. Here I'm at 33. This is my 33rd year. So, now, you know, Dave Ennett's been here a really long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ennett's got to be close.
He's very close, but the thing is, he went away for a while. This is all consecutive. We've been, you know what I mean? Like, right. You know, 607 area code says, at the end of your last show in the tower, you should play the Carol Burnett theme. Oh, that's nice. That's a good idea. So glad we had this time together. Yeah. Very cool. But it's not like we're leaving. I mean, I'm going to be on the air the next morning. Okay? I'll be on the air the next morning. It just won't be in here. 816 area code, that's Doug in Kansas City, says, for time travel, you have to mention the Star Trek episode Edge of Forever with Joan Collins. I don't remember. I mean, I'm not a big Star Trek fan of the TV show, and I don't know the episodes specifically. 301 says, of course, you have to include The Time Machine by H.G. Wells in the original 1960 film version. Yes, absolutely. Two very good time travel novels, Time and Again by Jack Finley and Bid Time Return, a.k.a. Somewhere in Time by Richard Matheson. That became Somewhere in Time. Old time travel TV show that was bad, and it was called Voyagers. Then there's also Time Bandits that was bad. No, Time Bandits is not bad. Time Bandits is great. Dan, have you seen Time Bandits?
No, I've. It sounds familiar.
It's Terry Gilliam.
Look it up. Okay, yes.
It's Terry Gilliam with the little people. It's a very dark movie. David Warner plays the bad guy in it. It's a really twisted, dark. It's Terry Gilliam, so you know it's great. But no, that's a great movie.
I got that confused originally with Time Chasers, which is another.
See, yeah, that's not. Don't get those confused. Oh, and no. Then we got 219 area code says Time Bandits, greatest time travel movie ever. There you go. And then 630 says, what did you think about Hulu's 11/22/63? I liked it very much. I thought it was really, really strong. All right, here are some other ones. We've got, here's one of my favorite time travel movies of all time. Oh, wait, we have to break here in a couple of seconds here, so we'll talk about that afterwards. If you guys want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking time travel. It's a really fun subgenre that you can really have a lot of fun with, and they do, you know, both in TV and movies and books. So let's get back to time travel coming up in just a couple of seconds. We have to break here for weather and traffic. And again, text and talk is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios here on Michigan Avenue. And we're talking about time travel in any form. The time travel subgenre is a fun one, and I hosted a really fun screening of Back to the Future last night, which is one of the best examples of time travel. And, yeah. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We'd love to hear from you. And let's get back to it. Here's Dave on WGN. Hey, Dave.
Good morning. Time travel episode that was rather interesting was the from Lois and Clark, where a guy from the future, because he's bored, steals H.G. Wells' time machine, goes back, but wants to go back to Metropolis to meet the stupidest woman who ever lived, Lois Lane. He grabs H.G. Wells' glasses, puts them on, and he says, "I'm Clark Kent." Takes them off. "I'm Superman." And then indignantly telling Lois Lane, played by Terry Hatcher, "They're the same person."
Wow. I don't even remember. I don't have memory of that episode at all, Dave, but that's pretty funny. Now, that's funny that you, Dave, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. It's funny that you mentioned it. It's about a villain stealing H.G. Wells' time machine. Because the movie that I was going to mention before the break is a movie called Time After Time. Now, Dan, have you ever seen the movie Time After Time?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's a great movie from 1979. It's Esmeralda. Have you ever seen the movie Time After Time? Esmeralda? Oh, she doesn't. Have you ever seen the movie Time After Time?
No.
It's with Malcolm McDowell, and he plays H.G. Wells. And he is, you know, the famous writer and everything, but he really did invent a time machine. And you know, according to the movie, in H.G. Wells, he invented a time machine. And, David Warner is in it, who was also in Time Bandits. He plays Jack the Ripper. So the premise here is that people are hunting down Jack the Ripper, and they find out that his identity, and he's a friend of H.G. Wells. And so Jack the Ripper steals his time machine and goes into the future, 1979 San Francisco, and H.G. Wells follows him into the future. Mary Steenburgen was in it. It is a great movie, a great, great movie. One of my favorite movies just in general, but one of my favorite time travel movies ever. If you've never seen Time After Time, I can't recommend it highly enough. The guy who wrote and directed it, Nicholas Meyer is his name. He also wrote, get this, Dan, he wrote the Star Trek movie where they go back in time to get the whales. Do you remember the Star Trek 4?
Yeah.
They go back in time to get the whales? Same writer, and they go back to San Francisco. So I don't know. It's like, I guess this guy likes writing about time travel movies that take place in San Francisco. But yeah, if everybody out there, if you have not seen Time After Time with Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen, and David Warner, it is a tremendously entertaining movie. A few years back, Malcolm McDowell was at the Flashback Horror Convention that I'm a host of every year, and I interviewed him, and I got to do his Q&A. At the convention.
Yeah, I remember when you were doing that.
And he told some great stories about the making of that movie. And he ended up marrying Mary Steenburgen. They were married for a while, so he met her on that movie. And then they started dating. They eventually got married. They ended up divorced, and now she's with Ted Danson, obviously. But yeah, that's a classic. That's an absolute classic. And you can't justifiably talk about time travel and not mention Time After Time, because it's a great one. Here's Kip on WGN. Hi, Kip.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right.
Good to talk to you. One of my favorite time travel movies was called Final Countdown. Do you remember that one?
I do. It's, what war did it take place? Was it,
It was the USS Nimitz.
It was an aircraft carrier, right?
Yeah, aircraft carrier in present time, which I think was back about 1980.
Right.
And it gets pushed back in time to the day before Pearl Harbor.
Right. Right.
And the coolest part to me was one that I don't even think Roger Ebert picked up on, because he didn't particularly like the movie, and that was that the whole crew of the Nimitz, of course, had lived through time, and they go back in time, and one of them gets abandoned and left behind, and then the ship comes back to the current day, and when it docks, that person who was left behind, who had lived life again, having known what a fabulous economy the world had gone through from World War One or World War Two till 1980, comes to the port to meet them in his limousine and his wife, and he has just become fabulously wealthy, no doubt because he knew how to make money during that time. I thought it was a terrific twist.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in many years. I remember liking it. I saw it when I was in high school, and I remember enjoying it. Yeah, The Final Countdown. That was
the most amazing compendium about movies. I always enjoy listening to you.
Oh, thank you, Kip. I appreciate that. Have a great morning, okay?
You too, thanks.
Okay, take care. You know, it's funny about how in the second Back to the Future, you know, this Kip was talking about how the previous knowledge of this character, he knew what was going to happen, so he ended up making a lot of money. That's what happens, obviously, for those people who have seen Back to the Future Part 2, where Biff goes into the future and he gets the sports almanac. And then he makes his billions and billions of dollars. He makes his fortune because he knew all the winners of every sporting event through, I think it was 2005 or something like that. And so that's how Biff makes all his money in the second movie, which is a great use of that technique. Donnie Darko is here as a time-traveling movie, and it is a time-traveling movie. It's also one of the weirdest movies ever made, and I love that movie, too. That's an interesting time-travel one. We also have here Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day, one of the it has become an American classic. You know, living the same day over and over and over and over and over again, and learning lessons as you live those days. And I can't, you know, Groundhog Day has become, well, first of all, when it first came out, it was a moderate success. You know, I mean, it did okay. It didn't do great. Didn't do gangbusters. It took some years for it to become, you know, the American classic that it is now, and it truly is an American classic. But yeah, it took some time for it to find an audience. But now it's being ripped off constantly. Like it's being ripped off constantly. They've done so many variations on it. There was Happy Death Day. There was a teen drama where she gets into a car accident and then lives the same day over and over again. But yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where one of the most imitated movies of the past, in the past few years has been Groundhog Day, which was a movie that didn't do very well at the box office when it first came out, but has become obviously, you know, an absolute classic and a great movie and a fun movie. And, and our good friend Stephen Tobolowsky is in it. And then we have, Run Lola Run, which is, a movie that messes around with time. Tom Tykwer directed it. It's about a botched money delivery, and this girl Lola's got 20 minutes to come up with 100,000 Deutschmarks before, or her boyfriend is going to get killed. And the movie has a few different possible outcomes, and it gives you it jumps around in time, telling you what could happen if this reality happens. What's the outcome for Lola and her boyfriend if this happens? And that was a movie that really, you know, that really took off. People really went cult crazy over this movie when it first came out. 12 Monkeys is listed here. 12 Monkeys also became a TV show. But the movie, again, directed by Terry Gilliam, you know, starred Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, obviously, and also got an Oscar nomination for it. And 12 Monkeys is a really, really great film. And I ended up watching a few episodes of the TV series, the 12 Monkeys TV series, which was, if I remember correctly, was on the Sci-Fi Channel. And that was pretty good, too. It wasn't as good as the movie, the Terry Gilliam movie, but it was good. And that's a fun, weird little time travel movie. So a lot more to go through here. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We haven't even touched on some of the TV shows, besides, of course, the legendary Quantum Leap, Esmeralda, which we will talk about.
I mean, that should have its own show.
It should.
Should do one night of Quantum Leap.
All Quantum Leap. Yeah, I'm sure that Dan would be on board with that, Mr. Shagru. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back after the news, we'll jump back into this. And if you want to talk time travel, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking texts as well and calls at 312-981-7200. News is next. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wednesday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and my main man, Steve Cochran, will have the morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can also check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Last night I hosted a really successful and really, really fun screening of the classic Back to the Future, which is one of the best time travel movies ever made. And so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about time travel in books and in TV and in movies and some of your favorites and some of the weirdest time travel movies and stuff like that. Dan, you've seen Idiocracy, right?
Yep.
Legendary time travel movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just fantastic. And
I didn't, like, you don't even think of it. That's one I didn't even think of until you said it.
Well, I mean, they've got that whole thing where they have to, it's Costco that they have to go to is it right or Sam's Club? I can't remember. I think it's Costco. But they have to catch the train, the time travel train. And then there's this whole, like, series of scenes where they try to explain what I can't remember all the details. I haven't seen it in a while. It's been a couple of years since I've seen Idiocracy. But there's this scene where they're trying to explain the concept of time travel. The concept of time travel, and it's so, like, ridiculous, and what could happen and what did happen, and how confusing it all is. And they talk about, like, every possible way that it could end. That is a great movie. I remember, Esmeralda, did you see it in the theater, or was it, like, on cable?
I saw it on cable, or rented it, maybe.
Yeah, because it never, you know, this is a true story about that movie. Nobody saw it in the theater. Nobody saw it in the theater. 20th Century Fox completely screwed the pooch on that. Like, they really, really, really dropped the ball on you know, marketing and advertising and releasing that movie. This is absolutely true, Esmeralda. The week it came out, nobody really knew what was going on. They didn't, you know, 20th Century Fox just dumped it. And so I looked in the paper, and they didn't even have the title of the movie. It was called. I was looking in the paper for the Showtimes, and in the ad for the river, no, not the River East, the City North over there on Western near the Kennedy. So I was looking in that, and in that grid where you remember those times when you would go to a newspaper to look up movie to look up movie times, which just doesn't happen anymore. But this was back, you know, back then. It was 2005, I think. It came out, if I'm not mistaken. And so I was looking for it, because anything with Mike Judge's name on, I'll see. I'll watch, because he's a genius. I think, I mean, he's an absolute genius. So we find it, and this is actually what it said. Did not say Idiocracy. It said Untitled Mike Judge Project. That's what it said in the paper. 20th Century Fox, when they released it, they didn't even have posters. They had nothing. They had nothing, and they didn't even acknowledge that the film was finished, because he didn't have a title for it while they were filming it. And that's that's the case for a lot of movies. You know, like Phantom Thread wasn't, you know, the last Paul Thomas Anderson movie was called Untitled Paul Thomas Anderson Project until about 2 months before it got released. So that was the same thing here. But 20th Century Fox didn't even bother to update the information that they were sending out to the press. They were actually sending out information that it was called Untitled Mike Judge Project.
I think it makes it sound cool, though.
Yeah, I guess. But
it makes you want to see it.
But nobody knew what it was. I mean, yeah, I guess Untitled Mike Judge Project. But if you didn't know who Mike Judge was, it was like, what the hell? What is this, a spy movie?
How far or how long was it from Office Space?
Well, Office Space was 90.
And he hadn't done anything in between,
he
right?
Did, well, I mean, not movie-wise. TV, he was still obviously doing, you know, he's doing King of the Hill and stuff on TV. Well, he did Beavis and Butthead Do America. That was before Office Space. Office Space was, I want to say, 99?
Oh, okay, so it had been a minute.
Yeah.
People might not remember
it. Yeah, it was five, six years later when Idiocracy came out. Or, I'm sorry, when Untitled Mike Judge Project came out. And I was so angry. I was like, what? And then especially after I saw, there were two people in the theater. It was me and my ex-wife, Heather, and two other people in the theater. Because nobody knew what the hell it was. And it was such a funny movie and such a brilliant movie and such a movie that's prescient and way ahead of its time and predicted so much stuff that's happening now. They did a tour of it. I don't know if you, did you know this, Esmeralda? It was about a year and a half ago. Mike Judge toured with the movie. And in honor of, I think, no, you know what? It was 2016, I think. I'm trying to remember if it was. I think it was before Trump got elected. When they did the tour, I think it was before Trump got elected. And so, but stuff that was happening all over the world, you know, and what happens in the movie was happening already. And Mike Judge was like terrified. And you know what? It was during the election. It was during the election. That's when he did this tour. And he did like, he would bring it to like universities or movie theaters. They would screen the movie and then afterwards he would talk about it, what he was thinking when he wrote it, you know, and what he thinks now. And he's terrified now. He's like, this was a completely out of control, absurd satire when I wrote it. Never thinking in a million years that what would come to pass would come to pass.
Yeah, it needs to be like a warning film.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Future,
I mean,
what has already happened.
The last time I watched it, it's been a while since I watched it, but the last time I watched it was right around the time when things started to go haywire and become Idiocracy. You know, I interviewed Terry Crews. I was filling in for Cochran one morning. Terry Crews was on to talk about this blooper show that he did. He did like a, it was like Ridiculousness, but with he was the host.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like wacky people falling down. You would have loved it, Esmeralda. Just people falling down the stairs and slipping on ice and stuff. And he was the host of it. I can't remember what it was called, but it was on Fox. It was on Friday nights. And he was promoting. He was doing like a bunch of, you know, radio interviews to promote it. And I had him on. And we talked. We talked about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, obviously. And then I mentioned Idiocracy. And I said, when you were making that movie, you know, and you were professional wrestler / president of the United States, did you ever think that this, you know, he said, no, I can't. He goes, it's scary. He's, it's really, really scary. That Mike Judge knew what was happening. And he's doing the same thing now on Silicon Valley. Do you watch Silicon Valley? Do either of you guys watch Silicon Valley?
I don't know.
You don't watch Silicon Valley? It's a terrific show. But like, he's got to be ahead of the curve on what's happening tech wise. And he predicted a bunch of stuff that, you know, I was talking with Tobo, Steve Tobolowsky, about it, because Tobolowsky is in, has appeared in Silicon Valley, talking about how he's got to, you know, because they filmed like 6 months, 8 months before it airs. And so Mike Judge has to kind of predict what's going to happen in the technology world. And in the computer world, in the internet and all that stuff, he's got to kind of like go, okay, well, if this has happened now in 8 months, what's it going to be like? And evidently, he pretty much nails it all the time. Tobolowsky said that he would read the script and go, I don't know what this is. By the time it aired, it happened. I don't know what's going on with Mike Judge. I have no idea if he's got like psychic powers. I think what it is that he's brilliant and he's a brilliant satirist and a really, really brilliant guy who thinks ahead. And
being able to extrapolate things and kind of take it to the next logical step,
yeah,
is definitely like a gift.
Yeah, oh no, he's one of the most talented writers and directors ever. I mean, he's brilliant and he's so funny. And you know, and the deal is, Beavis and Butthead is one of the funniest things that's ever been invented in the world. I remember they did a Moronathon years ago, back in like 93 or 94, when it was at the peak of its popularity on MTV. They did a Moronathon. It was 8 hours straight of Beavis and Butthead. I was living with my Mambo King friend Scott, Esmeralda.
Did you take breaks to watch the Mambo Kings?
No, we went straight through. Here's what we did. We found out that they were doing the Moronathon. It was 8 hours of Beavis and Butthead. And so we called up all our buddies and we're like, look, just bring a bunch of beer over. We're not leaving. We're going to watch all 8 hours of Beavis and Butthead. And let me explain something to you. After about 3 hours, we became Beavis and Buttheads.
Like, oh, of course.
I mean, we're just sitting on the couch going, hey, and it was, because it just back to back for 8 hours. And we sat through the whole thing.
That sounds great.
It was fantastic. It was awesome.
Did they do the movie?
No. This was before the movie, because the movie was in, like, 96 or 97 or something like that. And the movie, and the series, this was at the height of the popularity. It was 94, I think, when that happened. Now, there's another movie really quickly before we break, because we got weather and traffic to do. Esmeralda, the one of the last movies that he directed, that Mike Judge wrote and directed, is a terrific movie called Extract. Have you heard of it?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's with Jason Bateman and Kristen Wiig. It is a terrific movie that, again, two people saw. I mean, Beavis and Butthead Do America made money and was a hit, like, right off the bat. Office Space was a bomb. They didn't know how to release that movie, and then that's become a classic. It's become a classic. But it was terrible. It had a terrible run in the theaters. Same thing with Idiocracy, and same thing with Extract. Extract, though, has not become the classic it deserves to be, because it's right out, it's on par with all the great stuff that Mike Judge has done before. So this whole long conversation about Mike Judge started with the fact that Idiocracy is a really good time travel movie. That's how this whole thing started. Okay, everybody hang on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll jump back to time travel stuff. We've got a bunch of texts and more. Going to be really, really upset, Dan. What did you choose to play here?
This is the Quantum Leap theme song.
That's exactly right.
By Mike Post.
Good old Mike Post, responsible for some of the greatest television theme songs of all time.
It's so calm.
It is.
Considering what the yeah. What it's about.
It's no Law and Order.
Yeah.
Right? Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. I'm gonna jump into somebody else and through time. Yeah. Bacula. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking time travel. Here's Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
When I first got on, the gentleman that called about the Nimitz, that movie was on about maybe 3-4 weeks ago on TV.
Oh, okay.
I happened to see it. Yeah, and Hugh Jackman was in a movie about time travel.
Yeah, that's with Meg Ryan. Kate and Leopold.
Right.
Kate and Leopold, yeah.
And as on TV right now, Outlander.
Yeah, that's right. Outlander, you know, I've not watched that show, but everybody I know who watches it loves it.
You get hooked on it.
Yeah.
Very easily. Before it comes on, they'll have all 2 seasons that's ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to catch up with it because I've been interested in it since it's been on, but I really got interested in it when the lead actress was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
And she's, like, beautiful and Irish. And I was like, oh, I think I need to watch this show. So.
And I just got done reading a couple of books. My girlfriends and I, we get the old romance books, Avon's and Harley Quinn and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finished one by Constance O'Day Flaherty, Anywhere You Are. And it tells about a girl, she's jumping out of an airplane in Las Vegas, her and her brother. He's doing his bucket list. And when she comes down, there's like a bright light in that. And when she lands, she's in the middle of the desert, and she figures she's off course in that. And she falls back into like 1868.
Oh, boy.
And she tells how she's trying to get back, but she can't. And everybody she's meeting is back in when Las Vegas was just a little ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally get back. And what it is the government is running some sort of test, and they send a fellow to go and find her and bring her back. And he's actually a Navy SEAL, but he's doing it the old Western way.
Oh, okay. All right. And so it's a time travel romance novel then.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this fellow that's he was in the Civil War and that he's part Indian or raised by them. He helps her, and they have to be back at a certain time, this Navy SEAL tells her, so that they can get back into the present. Well, wow. Actually, the Navy SEAL's trying to kill him, but she gets back. They both get back. They come back in present time, and it tells how they have to hide from the government. And that, and if anybody can get the book, it's by Avon.
Okay.
And it's interesting, and there's not a lot of mush in it, and that there's a lot of things that you wonder, hey, could it be? Because she comes back in the present.
Right.
And then another one is by Dan Brown, Digital Fortress, and it's all about computers.
Mm.
And how they have this one computer that can break any code there is in the world. And how they're getting into where they can read any email from any country.
Mm. Well, that sounds like it could be also a documentary. So, all right, we're out of time here because we have to break for the news, Linda. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. And, okay, cool. By the way, 608 area code, Esmeralda. I love hot tub time machine.
All right. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I'd like to forget about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Wednesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about time travel in movies and books and TV shows, and I hosted a very, very successful and awesome screening of Back to the Future last night at the AMC Rosemont 18 as part of my summer-long Zemeckis Fest, my tribute to Robert Zemeckis. We had a nice packed house. Everybody had a great time. And that is one of the greatest movies ever made, one of the best time travel movies ever. So that's what we've been talking about here on WGN. If you'd like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. The 608 area code sends in a text, also loving Hot Tub Time Machine. 847 area code says, Nick, I love the movie 12 Monkeys. 219 says, I don't know if these qualify, but they were funny. Peggy Sue got married, and chances are. Yeah, Peggy Sue Got Married is a great film. I like Chances Are, too. I think Chances Are is a sweet film. 406 area code says, good morning, Nick. The Philadelphia Experiment and the original Planet of the Apes, Brian says. Philadelphia Experiment, terrific time travel movie. Of course, it's good. You know why it's good? Because it's written by John Carpenter. The original script was written by John Carpenter, and that was a movie that he was going to direct at one point. It was on the radar, I believe it was after The Fog he was going to do the Philadelphia Experiment, but it never came through, so he ended up selling the script, and a different director directed it. And it turned out to be pretty good, and it also became like a cult, you know, hit. People love that movie. Let's see. 773 area code says, Nick, I have two time travels, a book, A Wrinkle in Time, I loved it as a kid, and the current TV series Timeless, which is including the lesser-known American history. Yeah, Timeless is one of those shows that I've not watched, but again, really, really intrigued by. And I hear really good things about it. 815 area code says, Mick Jagger at his best in Free Jack. Well, you know, that movie has come up now over the last couple of weeks like four or five times. I don't know why. Free Jack with Mick Jagger and Emilio Estevez has come up. I don't know why it is. I don't understand the sudden surge in discussions about the movie Free Jack. 847 area code says Millennium with Cheryl Ladd. I kind of remember that movie. Kind of. 847 area code also says Time Cop with Van Damme. That was my first wife and I, that was our first date. It was the first movie we saw together, was Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm not really sure what that says about the marriage, but that was the first movie we saw together, was Time Cop. So, All right. Now, there, according to this, there's a TV series in the 60s called It's About Time. Now, do you, Dave Bennett is here. I'm looking at the ad for it from CBS. It looks ridiculous. Do you have any recollection of it? It's About Time? I got the wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
It's weird. I can remember the theme song.
No.
It was a sitcom about two cavemen.
Right. That's what I'm looking at the picture right here, and it's crazy.
They get lost in space. That's what it is.
But you remember the theme.
It's about time, it's about space, about two men from the human race or something like that. Yes, I do. I do remember it.
Wow. It was.
I can't remember any scene from the show.
It was only on for one season. It was on for from 66 to 67.
Oh, that's impossible. I wasn't born yet.
Oh, you weren't. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. So that must be a mistake.
Yeah, I guess I'd have. Must have been. Well, no, I do remember it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. It's About Time. I'm looking at the, you know, just this is ridiculous. Here, let me show you. Let me give you this.
Yeah.
Wait. Does that bring back any memories for you? That's the ad for it from the CBS.
The characters look vaguely familiar, but oh man.
Are you like time travel stuff, Dave?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, because I'm coming off of a screening of Back to the Future last night, and we had a sold out crowd.
That's the ultimate time travel.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And so it was so much fun to see it back on the big screen.
Oh, I'm sure.
And with a whole audience, a big pet. We had 250 people in the theater, and a lot of people had never seen it on the big screen. And so it was like their first time seeing it in a big theater on the big screen, and that was great. And then I before the movie, I always ask if people, I always say, raise your hand if you've never seen this movie. And so I prefaced it last night by saying, I know there's not one hand will go up, but raise your hand if you've never seen this movie, and three hands went up. Now, one was a 7-year-old kid, one was a 10-year-old kid, so they were forgiven.
Right.
But then there was an adult male, and I'm like, how is it possible that you've never seen
Back to this point in your life?
Exactly. Yeah. How do you do that? And he said, well, yeah, I've never seen it. And then and he had never seen it before, and I talked to him afterwards, and he lost his mind. He's like, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, so why'd you wait?
There's a reason why, you know, everybody's loved this movie for 32 years.
Is it at a point, Nick, where people know a lot of the lines in the movie, and it's not Rocky Horror Picture Show type, but I mean, they can kind of talk along with the movie.
Yeah, I know I can. I've seen it so many times, but it was funny because you could hear, you know, because there are so many sort of classic moments in that movie and classic lines that you can hear the audience anticipate it. And then there were like bits of applause, like when certain moments happen, you can feel the anticipation in the audience. Like, right. I mean, we're in a room full of people who love this movie, who know it by heart. And there were a lot of hardcore fans there last night. We had a lot of Back to the Future t-shirts and hats. One guy came up to me afterwards and said, I was this close to wearing my Doc Brown costume. He was going to come dressed as Doc Brown. I was like, you should have.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was a lot of fun. So but It's About Time.
It's about time. You didn't really miss much.
No.
I would just say that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see if I can find it on the YouTubes.
It only lasted one season.
It did. It was only
that kind of tells you.
Exactly. The picture's pretty interesting. I will say that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We've got a whole bunch of people on the line right now. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Got two for you. How about Family Man and Scrooge?
Yeah, Family Man was that? It's Nicolas Cage, right?
Right.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. I remember that one. Scrooge. Well, yeah, that's time travel. I mean, it's a Christmas Carol, but it's time travel for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, Jeff. Thanks. I'm the only person on the planet that doesn't like Scrooged. People just think I'm nuts. The Bill Murray movie. I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like it. And I've tried to watch it so many times, and I know it's become sort of a perennial.
Right.
You know, a favorite. And I remember the first time I saw it, I hated it so much. I don't hate it as much as I did when I first saw it, but I still don't. I don't.
Not a fan?
Not a fan. And I know that's weird, but here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Good, man.
There was also a TV show series on in the late 60s called The Time Tunnel.
Yes, I remember that. That one I remember. I do not remember It's About Time, but I do remember the time tunnel.
I can remember the first two lines of the song for It's About Time. It's about time. It's about space.
About two men from the human race or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I wasn't far off.
No. No. All right, Scott, thanks.
Hey, no problem.
Okay. What does that say that you remember stuff like that?
I know it's really weird. You know what's funny? I was talking, you know, my dad, you know, he's going to be 77 this year, so he forgets more often now, you know, than he used to. We were talking about beforehand, we were having some food before the movie. We were in the dining room at the theater, and we were eating, and we were talking, and my mom asked if I had ever shown Citizen Kane, you know, at my film club.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, but I showed, as you guys remember, I showed Touch of Evil. And, my dad was like, I don't remember. And I'm like, Dad, it was 2 years ago. I showed Touch of Evil. It's the Orson Welles movie that takes place in Mexico on the Mexican border with Charlton Heston and Janet Leigh, and Orson Welles and Marlena Dietrich. And he's like, no, I don't remember it. And I go, but you were raving about it when it was over, Dad. I was trying to remind him. It's a really great, one of the best movies ever made. And you loved it. You came to the screening here and you loved it. He's like, I don't remember it. And he goes, but I remember Frogs, which is this horrible horror movie from like 1972. So he remembers that. And then he's like, yeah, that was with Ray Milland. And Ray Milland was in that movie with Rosie Grier where they had two heads, the thing with two heads. He remembers that stuff, but he doesn't remember Touch of Evil. So it's weird what we remember.
Yes.
You know, is my point there. Oh, man. All right. Well, we have to break here. We got weather and we've got traffic, and then we'll wrap up the show with some more time travel talk. 312-981-7. Oh, Dave, somebody on hold was a fan of It's About Time or knows about It's About Time.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get a little more detail on it.
Details coming up on It's About Time.
See, now that's a tease. That means everybody's going to stay tuned.
It's about time. It's about space. About two men in the strangest place. It's about time. It's about flight. Traveling faster than the speed of light. Here is their tale of the brave crew. As through the barrier of time they flew. Past the fighting minutemen.
Bringing back some memories for you, Dave?
Yeah, see, I wasn't that far off.
No, you were right. Nice grab there, Dan. Dan Long is producing this morning for Dan Shugru. He'll be back tomorrow morning. But there it is, the classic 1960s series, It's About Time, about a couple of cavemen.
I think classic sometimes gets used, a little overused, Nick.
Especially in this case. More It's About Time talk. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
All right. You remember the show?
I do. Well, I was a kid. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of it, but kids would watch anything. But
yeah, that's true.
Sticking back on it, I think they're kind of playing off on I Dream of Jeannie. It was two astronauts that were thrown back in time, and they landed in Cayman, and what's his name? Ed Gwynn's partner on Car 51, he was one of the cavemen.
Joey Dale? No, Joey.
There was Joey Ross, Joey. Yeah.
Not Joey Bishop.
No. Joey Bishop. It was Joey. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was there were the only two of them. I remember. He was the only one I remember. Yeah, it was, I don't know. It was for a kid to watch it, it was okay. But
there it is. It only lasted one season, though, Glenn.
Well, thank God for that.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. You're welcome.
So this is why people tune into my show, because they want to know more about shows like It's About Time. And Dave remembered that theme song. Well, that's a pretty memorable theme song, I got to say.
Well, and TV theme songs back then were much more elaborate than they are today.
They don't. I mean,
they
barely exist. And one of the things that I loved about so many of the TV theme songs from that era was that they told the story of the TV show. Like the lyrics were, they tell you the story. Like Gilligan's Island is all about what the play is, what it's about. The Brady Bunch, there's another one. Like they tell the plot of the show within the song. So you can tune in and go, oh, okay, I know what this is about now.
Joey Ross.
Joey Ross, that's it.
Okay. He played Gronk.
That's a great caveman name right there.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Here's Ken on WGN. We're talking time travel. Hey, Ken.
Hey, I was wondering if you remember a TV movie, or I'm sorry, it was an actual movie called Time Rider. I can't remember who was the main character.
It was Fred Ward, and you know who produced that movie, Ken? Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. It was his idea, and he produced it, and if I remember correctly, Fred Ward was the lead in Time Rider, and it's a good movie. It's a real good movie.
Yeah, I was turned on to it because I used to like dirt bikes when I was a kid, and sure. I saw the movie. I was like, "Oh, that's cool, that's neat."
Yeah, it's a good movie, and that's another one of those movies like a lot of the stuff we've been talking about this morning that didn't have a real huge, box office, but has become a cult classic since. Like a lot of people love that movie. So
yeah, no, it's something, and I never find it. You know, they don't air it any time.
No, I think you can get it. I think it's available on DVD, and I even think it's available on Blu-rays. And they don't play it on cable ever. But if you want to get a copy of it, I think you can get a DVD of it because it's a really good movie, actually. All right, Ken. Well,
thank you for the information. You guys have a good day.
Okay, buddy, take care. Yeah. Oh,
so Michael Nesmith's coming to town.
Yes,
for this Mike and Mickey show.
Yeah.
Maybe ask him about
that was a movie that they really went out of their way during advertising. They really popped his name there all the time because nobody knew what Time Rider was, and at that point nobody knew who Fred Ward was, but everybody knew who Mickey Dolenz or not Michael Nesmith was, right. And so he was like all over the place on that. Now you know the One of my favorite pieces of trivia about Michael Nesmith, right?
About how he could have skipped working.
Yes.
Right?
Because his mom invented
Whiteout.
Whiteout. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great piece of trivia.
It's a pretty cool thing to go to school and say, yeah, well, my mom invented Whiteout.
And say it to someone who's using Whiteout at the time.
Hey, you know, my mom thought of that.
Here's Kurt on WGN. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, it made me think of a movie that I actually really enjoyed, Dennis Quaid in Frequency.
Oh, that's a good movie. Dennis Quaid and Jim Caviezel, where they talk through ham radio in time.
Yes. Yeah.
And solve a murder. They try to solve a murder that's happening. And that's an actually really good movie. And their father's son.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one. You know, they made a TV, Kurt, they made a TV series out of it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was short-lived, but they did. They made a TV series out of Frequency. I think it was just recently, too. It was just a few years ago. And I think it only lasted one season. That's a good one. And that was a really original concept, too. Like, I had never seen anything like that before, where they're talking to each other through time in through a ham radio trying to solve a murder. Yeah.
Yeah, and one back, I want to say the 80s, too. I think you guys touched on it earlier. I'm just driving home from work. I caught half your conversation, but I enjoyed the Bill and Ted movie.
Yeah, we were talking about Bill and Ted earlier. Those are great movies. And you know they're making a third one, Kurt. Did you know that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm following that with great interest.
I can't wait. All right, Kurt, thank you.
You bet. Take care. Good morning.
Let's see. How about The Edge of Tomorrow, which is a Tom Cruise movie where he is training to fight. He ends up getting killed and coming back and repeating the same day over and over again. Science fiction movie. Came out a couple of years ago. Emily Blunt was in it. It's a great movie, a terrible title, and they advertised it really poorly. But that's a great one. Let's see. We mentioned Time Bandits a little bit earlier. How about Sleeper?
The Woody Allen.
Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
that's a funny movie. That's the early funny Woody Allen stuff. We mentioned Peggy Sue Got Married. Let's see. There's The Lake House. With Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, we talked about Free Jack, and then we were talking a little bit earlier about Idiocracy. But then the Evil Dead movies, the final Evil Dead movie is called Army of Darkness, and that's a time travel movie. He goes back to medieval. Ash goes back to medieval times. So, there's a ton of those stuff, and we have to mention this again tomorrow because Dan Chigrou is off this morning, as you know. Dan adores Quantum Leap. That's like one of his, that's like his favorite show of all time is Quantum Leap. And so when we, when I brought this topic up earlier, Esmeralda was like, I don't think it's fair that you're talking about this on the night that Dan Chigrou is off, considering how he feels about Quantum Leap.
Esmeralda is so considerate.
She is. She is very considerate. So, all right. Well, there you go. We got more coming up tomorrow. And our show will be back tomorrow morning. And we'll have our biweekly visit from Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter. And we will talk all things TV. Lots of TV stuff to talk about with him. And it'll be Triple Play Thursday and more. And, of course, we'll talk about Quantum Leap with Dan Chigrou, the president of the Quantum Leap fan club.